All right, Proverbs 8. I told Mike I was glad he was teaching Proverbs, and ever since I told him that, I've been preaching from it, seemed like. Proverbs 8, verse 22. I want to follow up from John 8 this morning about the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. And really, I don't know how well people know or think about the pre-existence of Christ. It should be understood. Every Christian obviously should know it. Anybody who's read the Bible should. It's an essential aspect of Jesus being the Son of God. And so there is indication in the scriptures of his eternal nature and eternal existence, which means he never had a beginning and has no end. So in Proverbs, in this passage, wisdom is spoken of as a person, and it parallels Jesus and his creation. And as I read through these few verses, see that you see that. Proverbs 8:22. Now, this is speaking about wisdom, but it's speaking about wisdom as a person. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made from the skies above, when the springs of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that in you there is all the fountain of wisdom and knowledge. That in you there is an existence beyond our grasp, an eternity of existence and of doing what God does, and the marvels of your nature, the marvels of your incarnation, Lord, are that you became a man from that eternal nature. So that, Lord, we know you as a man by your humility and coming to die for us. And it's an astounding, amazing thing. And your eternity, Lord, that you've always existed. We give you praise for that. It is an awesome character that is of God. We pray, Lord, our minds will be properly on this matter tonight in regard to wisdom and how it applies to our world, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. When a child is born, obviously there's a lot of work to do, and we treat a child differently based upon his age. As a child grows, his capabilities get more, and his ability to do certain things, his maturity increases, or it should. I think it increases slower these days than it used to, but still at some point you put more trust in a child at a later time that it would not be wise to have done earlier. A child will get to a point where there's a teenager, late teens or whatever, that you'll let them, you know, drive a car. It wouldn't be the the best thing to do for a six-year-old. So there's a change in our wisdom about how we handle a child. What's perfectly wise at age six would be unwise and odd at age 21. That's because people change. And one aspect of wisdom is how we handle the things of the world that come upon us, because things do change. Responsibilities increase. A child has to be gotten up and go to school. You have to help them with homework. You have to, answer more serious questions, speak to them about the Lord. A lot of things come up, as you all know, from children. And typically, that changing of how we handle someone is just very well understood. It's just what we do. It goes with being, is maturing. But the world views wisdom like that. All of it, absolute wisdom. There is a practical wisdom where we have a different way of doing something, depending, as I say, on the circumstance. But what about absolute wisdom? If it was wise in the 1500s, for example, to maintain chastity before marriage, is it still wise today to do that? Is it wise today to appeal to young people to stay pure sexually until they're married? Or is it unwise today? What would the world say about that? Would the world say it was just stupid to try to get a child today to practice chastity, to wait until marriage because of the day? What about when the economy was more of a one wage earner economy? The home was more the base. Was that unwise? Is it unwise today for people to aim for the same thing just because the times have changed? Is it unwise today to buck the trends of society? The sexuality, gender, morality, justice, race, all these things are always thrown up before us as something we have to adjust to, something that's new knowledge, new wisdom, a new way. Is it wise? Are any of these things wise? My thought is, of course, that very few of them show any bit of wisdom at all. And yet we're supposed to approve and even cheer the changes as though they're a great breakthrough when they're not. And many people err regarding what is wise in the same way they err about the nature of Jesus. Many people today see Jesus as a person who is not eternal. He became a man. He was born in the manger. They treat him, now whether they believe in him, he's somewhere from somewhere else, that's another matter. But in practice, they see Jesus as not eternal. He's a man, like the Pharisees, like the Jews saw him, like his enemies. They disagreed with him. They thought they could edit his words. They could, decide to believe something else. So Jesus, we know, has an eternal existence, pre-existence, and he became man in time. And failure to reckon that results in a state of unreality. People today who don't see Jesus as he is are living in unreality. They may want it to be reality. They may want it to be accepted. They may want it to be the norm. It is certainly normal today to see that. But it's a dangerous breach of eternal law. You can't get away with that. Not to see Jesus as he is a violation of eternal standards, eternal facts, eternal reality. And one thing Jesus came to do is to open up the world of eternity to us, to show us that this world was not all there was, and to make us see that we have to deal with God in order to be fully prepared for eternity. And there is an absolute wisdom that goes with this, because wisdom parallels the existence of God. This wisdom is embodied in Jesus Christ. He is wisdom. You could call, you know, somebody who does certain things, you can say they are that. They are good at doing things with their hands. You know, they're a handyman. They've got certain characteristics of knowledge. You know, they're a good teacher of things. And Jesus is the embodiment of many qualities, including wisdom. Wisdom in Proverbs is the ideal state. To be wise is to be practical and to be in reality with the universe, with eternity and this world. And that there is a foundation in Proverbs that remains absolute all the time. It never changes. Wisdom with a child, as I was saying earlier, that changes what you can do with a child. But there's a core foundational aspect of wisdom that Proverbs speaks of that never changes. People wander from it. They get off of the foundation all the time, but the foundation remains. It tells us what the times we live in are like. We examine what people do today based on a foundation of wisdom. People are talking today about, you know, we're smart if we do this or that, which would be against the Bible. We're never smart to do that. We violated the foundation of wisdom. Whenever I'm in a high place, which is never, if I can help it, I'm well aware whenever I've been in a high spot of the foundation. And what happens if I were to topple off the edge of that? Whenever I got up on the roof, I was very aware of the edges of the roof. And to disregard that would, you know, be a bad thing. It's what I always figured would happen once I got up there. So today what people are doing basically is that they're denying the foundation, absolute foundation of wisdom. And they're making decisions and estimating actions based upon a changing foundation, which is not of God. The foundation that men have is a changing foundation. But the foundation of God is firm. And when we're speaking about absolute wisdom, this is what Proverbs is encouraging us to pay attention to. Because God remains the same. We change, but God does not. Society changes, generations change. If we sat down and talked, we who are, you know, a little bit older now, we can do what I mentioned this morning, sit on the porch and talk about older times with those young folks who don't know what a, you know, phone on the wall is like, and, you know, touch tone and rotary dialing. They don't know what that is, cassette tape, what? We could go through some of that and inform them about it. Things change. Those types of things are different. With God, his character, his law remains the same. Even in what is supposedly enlightened times, people talk about being woke today. Being woke today is like they've gotten better. They were in darkness and now they've woken up and now they are offended by everything. That means they're woke. Somebody is offended about everything that happens. Everything that happens is racist in some way. Everything that happens is bigoted in some way. Everything that happens offends somebody in some way. Use the wrong pronoun. People get upset. because they've adopted another pronoun. Everybody's getting upset about everything. That's being woke today. And it's being deeper in darkness than they were before. All they've done is opened the door and walked into a darker room and claimed to be in a brighter place. And it's considered to be an improvement when it's worse. And so the world sees that as evolving wisdom. Boy, aren't we smarter and wiser today than we used to be? Well, no, would be the answer to that. What used to be, in many cases, is exactly what should be today when it comes to morality, because that doesn't change. Today, you're stupid to follow the ways of the Bible. You're stupid to talk about creation. You're stupid to talk about Jesus being the only way to God. You're stupid to go to church and stupid to be a church member and stupid to give to church, and on it goes, because it's not what they would do. What is true wisdom? What is true absolute wisdom? And Proverbs defines it as the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do we do this? Well, you might have gotten something at Christmas that needed instructions. We men don't like to look at those until absolutely, you know, it's necessary. But if you got those instructions and something, especially maybe something for the kids or grandkids that needed to be put together, the instructions might come in handy. How's this supposed to go? How's this supposed to fit into this? I don't know how this wheel goes on here. Where does it go? Well, the instructions tell us that. And so that is the basis for having a correct product as we put it together. Well, in this world, the proper way for us to be is to be whatever the Lord is and whatever the Lord approves, the fear of the Lord, recognizing God, his power and holiness as the guiding factor of all we do. God's sovereignty has never gotten weaker. His standards have never gotten lower. His character has never changed. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And understanding is the proper use of knowledge. And when we get knowledge and we use it properly and we use it according to the will of God and the law of God, that is wisdom. And this is what we're encouraged to do by Proverbs. Now, a lot of things in the world are changing very, very rapidly, more rapid than I even could have imagined. And again, if we got together and talked about it, we would say, wow, this is really fast. Really, though, if you're at a pier at Myrtle Beach and you're leaning out over the rail on the pier and suddenly your watch slips off your wrist and falls into the ocean, well, that was pretty fast. You lost your watch. That's the plunge, basically, that our society's been taking, getting more immoral and calling it wiser. And it'll never get to wisdom, but it can certainly be seen that way. So a central point of Proverbs is that you can only be wise if you fear the Lord. All these people today are pushing new things, new laws, new moral laws, that they'd never be wise, because God is different than that. You can imagine, I know some of you have a dream that one day I might eat broccoli. It's not a realistic dream. A lot of people today think that they're going to do certain things and the world will be better. When has the world ever been better by what men have done outside of the will of God? Never. Even among just things they do among men, it doesn't get better. So that's not going to be wisdom. Education has accepted the new ways. They're not wise anymore. Government, media, Hollywood, psychology, sociology, science, history, geography, everybody. The whole place has found that hole and plunged into it. And so Proverbs tells us what is the consequence of that? Sometimes consequence is a long way in the future. Sometimes it's tomorrow. But the seeds are sown in the present. And Proverbs 29:1 says, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. Those are good things to know. Now, in this text, you see that the way wisdom describes itself is as an eternal quality. Let me go up and read from the first verse. And you see in this, and when we get back to Sunday school, Michael bring this out a number of places. Wisdom wants us to be wise. Verse 1, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? She's calling for us to be wise. On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gates at the opening to the city. At the entrance of the door, she cries out. This is what she cries out. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence. And O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. This is wisdom talking. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They're all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. Wisdom is saying, if you have the choice between silver and gold and wisdom, pick wisdom. That's the more valuable commodity. For wisdom, verse 11, is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Even buttered popcorn is not comparable to wisdom, or a new flashy sports car for a young man. I, wisdom, verse 12, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Do you ever hear any perverted mouths today? Do you hear it on social media? Do you hear it on the news? Do you hear it in television shows and movies? Do you hear perverse things being promoted? You know, you can't even make a show, I guess, in Hollywood now, or wherever they make the shows, without sticking something in that is to educate us about the new way. We were watching a comedy that was playing. We were watching it, you know, through streaming. And it was kind of funny. So it was nice. We watched the first season and got in the second season. It was pretty early in the second season. They got into all the woke stuff, the microaggressions, everything. So you're offended by everything. That's the end of that for me. We dropped that like a hot, you know, potato. And that's over. This is what wisdom hates, that kind of stuff. But the world loves it. The world thinks, oh, look how upward we are. Look how progressive we are. Look how great we are that we're educating all these stupid people about the new things. But it's not that way. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. You want justice? Fear the Lord. You want justice? Follow the ways of God. Don't change his laws. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. You want to make the world better? Seek wisdom. Right now, the world's all gaga about the COVID vaccine. Oh, we got to have that. What's more valuable than that is wisdom. If we had a slew of wisdom, a lot of the perversions that are being used and done with the excuse of COVID would be gone. We'd have a more wholesome world and we would tackle this thing in a united way. Oh, but no, we have to push our own agenda with it. And now we don't even know who to believe. And when they say something's bad or good, we can't believe it anymore. We just don't know. But if we seek diligently wisdom, the Bible says here we'll find wisdom. Riches and honor are with me, verse 18. Enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice. Think of that next time some celebrity lectures us about how we're supposed to be, which is different than the way of God. God walks, wisdom walks, in the way of righteousness. Verse 21, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries, the wealth of wisdom. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. And that's where we get into our text. See, wisdom is eternal because God is eternal and Christ is eternal. And as we go through the verses, verse 23, from everlasting I was established. We saw this morning, Jesus, God is eternal, everlasting to everlasting. From the beginning, we saw in Genesis 1, John 1, that Christ is from the beginning. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the agent of creation. He spoke the word. The Holy Spirit applied the word. The Father willed the word. And this is how things were made. And so he's speaking of the earliest times of the earth, the beginning of the earth. And that was when the creation was. And that's when Jesus created, made the heavens and the earth. Verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. See, it precedes the creation, the depths of the earth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above. See, wisdom existed prior to all that. When that was made, wisdom was in existence. When that was made, Jesus was the one that made it, and he was the creative force. And that is the same with wisdom. The circle of the face of the deep, many see there, the Bible was given a science lesson, although not specifically for that purpose, of the fact that the world was round. Everybody thought it was flat for a long time. When he made the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary, that's an act of creation. The sea can come this far and no farther. The water would not transgress his command when he marked out the foundations of the earth. I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Wisdom is a joy. When things are done in wisdom, there is a joy. When they're done in foolishness, they're a shame. A lot of people are ashamed. A lot of the problems people have today are from true guilt and shame. And these people say they'd have no regrets for their lives. That's foolish. There is a lot of shame. Now, that's taken away when we know the Lord. That's taken away and we're forgiven. We should not have that same shame, although we're never proud of our sin. But there's a joy in doing what is right. Whereas we're looking for judgment when we do something wrong, there's always that fearful expectation of judgment. And we would know if it fell, it would be just. But when we do wisdom, we're rejoicing. We're at ease. We have no guilt. We have peace. Verse 31, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. The Lord delights in wisdom, and when we're wise, he delights in us. And wisdom is daily the delight of God, and Jesus is daily the delight of God. What did he say? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is a joy from eternity. And our Lord Jesus manifests wisdom in his being. And in Proverbs, he is portrayed as wisdom. He's the creator. And so his wisdom is his companion. The Lord is never unwise. Sometimes we say we lost our minds. What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. I lost my mind. Temporary insanity. I just don't know what I was doing. I didn't look where I was going. I didn't remember what I was told. The Lord is always wise. And Jesus always acts in wisdom. Wisdom is that practical working with knowledge. A lot of people know a lot of things that aren't practical with it. A lot of people know a lot of facts about the Bible that are not practical with it. They don't apply. They want to make a dichotomy between the Bible and the world, that the Bible is for church and the world is for, the other philosophies are for the world. The Bible is a full bore application for the entire world. And wisdom is part of who Christ is. Knowledge is part of who Christ is. And morality will always be decided by the wisdom of God and the will of God. Essentially, when a person does in this world whatever they want to do, which is against the will of God, they're hurting themselves. The Bible, in Proverbs especially too, talks about destruction. Destruction and misery are in the ways of the fool, in the ways of the wayward woman, in the ways of those who wander from the truth. It's really not loving. It's really not good. What people think of today as good, as liberated, as a progressive, as an advance, is not. It's bad. And it's the same as wandering from God. And wandering from God is destructive and puts us in a place out by ourselves with our own sense, which the Bible says we have a darkened mind and we don't have understanding unless we are enlightened by God, and that the world does not accept the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. And without God's influence, we're wacko. And the things that are being said today that are so wacko is because people have wandered away from God. If you want to be crazy, get as far from God as you can. And then if you get into a position of influence and power, then you can manifest your foolishness more than you could when you were in a quiet place. This is what's happening today. And people don't even realize it. They think God needs to catch up with them, when in fact, what we need to do is return to God, who is wisdom and knowledge in and of himself and always will be. And so Jesus's eternal nature of wisdom, again, is portrayed in a poetic kind of way in Proverbs. Justice, kindness, mercy, all these things are identified, defined by the wisdom of God. It works. What Jesus tells us to do works. What he warns us against, if we do it anyway, that hurts us. It can never be otherwise. It may be slow, but it is not doing anything but destroying us. It's breaking people's conscience, they're burning their conscience and they don't feel it anymore. The nudge of conscience. They get more used to being in rebellion against Christ. They start coping, trying to make things work the best they can. They start talking about human answers and human ways in which they might make things better, and they can't. And then they fool themselves and try to trick themselves into thinking that, yeah, I think things are getting a little bit better, when they're not. It's all because we've left wisdom. Wisdom is that practical how to live. It has nothing to do with a side issue. It is a central core issue. How do I live? They're very big on that with the COVID thing. How do we live? Well, yes, if you're 6 inches closer to someone, that's going to hurt you. If you're 12 inches from them, that'll be all right. They're trying to tell us these things, how to live with COVID. And they don't really know. We're still getting it with all these things. But how to live absolutely morally, how to live in a way that's pleasing to God and doesn't destroy us, that's wisdom. That's from the Lord Jesus, from his eternal wisdom, from the fount of wisdom and knowledge. We can't better that. Many have tried, and many today ignore Christ and figure they'll get it done. That we're the ones who are against, science. But it's not so. If we follow Christ, we have wisdom. We walk in wisdom and health and happiness and joy that we would have no other way except walking in the ways of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, you're very kind to us to be so patient. Foolish people are a hardship to deal with. Whenever we encounter foolish people who are very vocal about their foolishness, it's a hardship, Lord, to stay. If they're on TV, we change the channel or mute the sound. Or if we read in the newspaper, we just turn to the next page. Hard to bear, but Lord, you've borne much with our foolishness and given us, by knowing you, wisdom. For Lord, you are all wisdom. You're the fount of wisdom. Lord, we have no wisdom beyond you and above you. And surely, Lord, because of that, wisdom has always existed. Just, Lord Jesus, as you have. We praise you for that fact. In Jesus' name, amen.